All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jude today. The book of Jude. I'm not with it today. I forgot about the scripture reading, and I forgot to let the children's church and the young people go. I'm just... So the book of Jude, and we will eventually be reading verses 3 and 4. The title today of the message is Earnestly Contending. And what a week we've experienced this week. It's been a long week for some. What a week celebrating with our community the accomplishments of the high school basketball team. It was a joy to see the excitement. It was a joy to be a small part of celebrating with the team. I had the opportunity to travel with them to the schools and be the hype man and all of that. But you know, there was a lot of excitement. And then when we get to Rupp Arena and to see all of the maroon there, I mean, it was unbelievable. We went to 6 of the first 12 games. And of those, we watched all the way through the quarterfinals. And the games that Magoffin County was in the house, there were more people in the house in those games than any other games. So it was just, you know, great to see and to think about how generations came together and just old teams meeting up and all of that stuff that goes along with that. Thinking about, you know, there were people who came out to support the team that hadn't supported them all year. And just to see all of that and think about the people who traveled great distances to support the team. And the team won and the support grew and all of that. And, you know, it was a good week. Tiring week, but a good week. And you might be saying, Brother Mark, what's that have to do with Jude? What's that have to do with what we're talking about when it comes to the church? And it has a lot to do with it. It has a lot to do with what I've been trying to get across to us as a church. The excitement that our community experienced because they supported the team and they wanted to see the team succeed. And when the team was succeeding, then more people became involved and more people wanted to be involved and more people wanted to be a part of what was happening. We know that same thing is what I've been trying to get us to understand when it comes to the church. I've been trying to get us to see how important the church is in what God is doing. I've been trying to get us to see how important the church is in continuing the work of Jesus Christ. I've been trying to get us to all to see the importance of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church and how we fit into what God is doing. And I've been trying to get you to see that, listen, this church is important. Your membership in the church is important because we're continuing on the work that Jesus built while he was here on this earth. We're continuing on the work that God has designed for this world so that he can bring his sheep into the fold. I've been trying to get us to latch on to that and to build the excitement for our own part in what God is doing. Now, I know that the excitement that was associated with the basketball team will not be the same type of excitement that's here. But I want us to understand the importance of being a congregation and being who God has called us to be and understanding how important our part is in continuing the work. And I do want to tell you this, that, listen, most of us really had no real part in what was going on with the basketball team. But you can have a real part in what God is doing. You are a part of the team. You are the team. And so I want you to understand how important your membership in Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is in accomplishing God's will for us. And so again, I've been trying to get you to think in the past and where we've been in the past, trying to think about the church. And I've been attempting to grow your love for the church. And I've been attempting to grow your love for the church by attempting to grow your love for Christ. The more you love Christ, the more you'll love His church. And the more you understand what it means to be in Christ, then to be a part of His church. I've been attempting to show you how important your work is in the work that God is doing in this world. When you think about this, it is through the church that God has ordained in this time frame to do His work. It is through the church where the truth will be proclaimed. It is the church that Jesus promised perpetuity to. Lo, I'm with you always. He's going to be with us always, even until the end of this age. It's in the church where disciples are made. It's in the church. And we remember the last few messages I preached that we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's in the church. The church has been provided with all of the tools to teach people how to produce godly lives. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so I've also, again, going to reiterate this. I've been attempting to show you how important your part is, the part that you play in what this church is doing. And I know you might say, well, Brother Mark, I don't really understand that I have a part. But you come and supporting the church is supporting the work that Jesus is doing. This church cannot accomplish the purpose that Jesus has designed for it without your involvement. Your part is an important and an integral part in all that this church is and all that God is doing in the world today. Now, last week we celebrated 66 years of the church, and we discussed how important your part is in what the church is doing and how your involvement. Now, I want you to think about this. Your involvement as a part of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church has impacted the lives of thousands in this community. And not only in this community, but as we come together and we decide to support missionaries, your involvement in what Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is doing has impacted lives around the world. I don't know if you grasp this or not, but there are people around the world today that are going to hear the gospel who may have never heard the gospel before because you support Emmanuel Baptist Church. And Emmanuel Baptist Church is supporting missionaries around the world. And people are hearing the gospel for the first time. Don't forget how important your part in Emmanuel Baptist Church is in impacting lives around the world. And here's the thing. Your continued involvement and commitment in this church will allow this church to continue to impact thousands of lives in our community today, but also in the future. You see, your part playing today is going to enable this church to still be active in another 66 years. We'll be celebrating, what is that, the 132nd. Well, we won't be celebrating. They will be celebrating, but you get my point. The church will be celebrating its 132nd anniversary, and thousands of lives will be impacted. And before you think, well, that's you know, we don't need to think about that. Salem Missionary Baptist Church that Kimberly and I were members of, they were organized in 1865, and they're still active today in that community of Lost Creek. And so, why is that possible? Because faithful saints in days of old continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking in bread and in prayers and earnestly contended for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So Salem Baptist Church has a ministry today. And the same will be true for Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church because the members of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking in bread and in prayers. The work of Jesus Christ is going to continue on. And so I want us to see how important our part is in the work that Jesus is doing. We may never have hundreds of members, but we have the members that the Lord has added to us, and we're impacting the lives that Jesus has given to us, and we want to understand how important our part is in the overall work that God is doing in this world today. But we also want to understand that we have an adversary, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Satan has always been the enemy of God. Satan has always attacked the work of God. And when did he begin his attack? Well, actually, he began his attack before the Garden of Eden. But most notably, we understand that he began his attack in the Garden of Eden when Satan's plan of attack was he came to Eve and he said, "Yea, hath God said?" So he began to question the Word of God. Satan's attack has always been to question the Word of God. Satan's, one of his favorite tools in his arsenal has been to attack the Word of God. He has always attempted to attack the Word of God. And Jude, the brother of Jesus, while he walked on this earth, understood the attack of Satan. That's why he said, as he wrote his general epistle, he said, "Beloved," this is Jude 1:3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." That tells you two of the early heresies that were brought into the church, and we'll talk about those early heresies next week. But Jude thought it necessary to write to early Hebrew Christians and encourage them to earnestly contend for the faith. And so today, I'm going to do the same thing. I want us to understand how important it is to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The only way for the faith to continue on is if it is earnestly contended for. If we don't earnestly contend for the faith, Isaiah 59:14 says, "And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." So if we do not earnestly contend for the faith, then the truth is going to fall into the streets. As a matter of fact, Luke 18:8 says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless," listen to this, "when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth?" So there's this question, will faith be found? When Jesus returns, will faith be found? And we know the answer to that is going to be yes, because he promised perpetuity to his church. But will faith be found at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church in Sayersville, Kentucky? If we don't earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, the faith will not be found. And so in order to make sure that the faith continues to be found, we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And listen, your part in participating in what Emmanuel Baptist Church does is going to enable the faith to continue on here. And so we need to earnestly contend for the faith. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, what that means. But anyway, Jude is writing this letter. And he's writing this letter because he understood the truth, the faith was under attack. And so Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church needs to understand that Satan as a roaring lion would love nothing more than to destroy the faith that is taught in Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. the truth is always under attack by Satan. And Satan wants to manipulate the truth to get people to believe a lie so that he can deceive them and lead them down the broad road that leads to destruction. And so we want to understand how important it is for us today to earnestly contend for the faith. You know, as I was thinking about this morning and going through my notes, I thought about Smokey the Bear. You know, Smokey the Bear, only you can prevent forest fires. Well, only you can prevent Satan from attacking the truth. Only you can protect the truth by earnestly contending for the faith. Your duty, your responsibility, your opportunity to preserve the truth of the Word of God so that future generations can know and understand and believe the truth. But the question might come to your mind, why should we earnestly contend for the faith? And I want to present for you four reasons why the truth should be, or the faith should be, earnestly contended for. And the first one is, faith is worthy to be contended for. Don't you think it is? The truth of salvation, that the truth that brings salvation to our souls, it is worthy to be contended for. Because you see, it is the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and it is the faith that brings to us the gospel of our salvation. You know, we learned in the men's Sunday school class this morning, and you know, it's always amazing to me how what we learn in Sunday school class always comes out in the message. It seems that something that happened in that Sunday school class always finds its way into the sermon, and that should encourage you. Listen, come and be a part of what we're doing in Sunday school. Listen, what the young people, one of the ways you're going to earnestly contend for the faith is to have your young people in Sunday school. Let them learn the faith. But anyway, we talked about what Job learned. And Job learned that his Redeemer lives. And Job learned that even though the skin worms shall destroy his flesh, that in his flesh he shall see God. And he knows that one day his Redeemer is going to live and he's going to stand upon the earth. So there's lots of things that Job understood there. But it's those things that we learn about the future coming kingdom of Jesus Christ and the bodily resurrection that we will experience. You see, all of those things we learn in the faith. You see, the gospel, we learn the intricacies of the gospel in that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We learn that Christ Jesus died for sinners, becoming their substitute. He died in our place. We learn the gospel that on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead for our justification. And we learn what justification means. Think about how many people don't understand justification. But we learned that, and we spent quite a bit of time talking about that a few weeks ago. But we learned the gospel and the justification. And we learned that because Jesus has been raised again, that one day, we will live with Him. And we learn in the gospel that Jesus Christ overcame sin. So sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Sin doesn't have the victory in your life. The gospel is that since Jesus gave His life a ransom for many, that we ought to give our lives for others also. The gospel, we should earnestly contend for the faith because the faith contains the gospel. And it is the gospel is whereby men are saved for their sins and given eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's the first reason we should earnestly contend for the faith. The second reason we should earnestly contend for the faith is because it's the faith that Jesus delivered. Do you understand? And I know sometimes we lose sight of this. We get so involved in what we are experiencing today that we forget about the past. But we forget that while Jesus walked on this earth, He delivered the truth. He delivered the truth to His apostles. and his apostles taught others. And that truth has continued to be taught down through the ages. And what we're teaching today is the truth that Jesus taught. We don't teach cunningly devised fables. No, we teach the Holy Scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we understand the truth that Jesus taught is the truth that is taught today. And Jesus taught while he walked on this earth that he even came to fulfill the Old Testament. So you can go all the way back into the Old Testament. And everything that was spoken in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. And Jesus has explained to us all about history and all what God is doing. It is the truth which Jesus taught. The truth that Jesus taught his disciples, the apostles. And if you remember, we talked a few weeks ago about Jesus saying that he gave unto the church the keys of the kingdom. He taught them about the authority that they have in the kingdom. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the same teaching that we are teaching today. The teaching that Jesus gave the apostles. The teaching that the apostles gave to the church. It's the same truth that we're teaching. And Jesus said that go and make disciples. So the teaching that he gave to the apostles, and the apostles gave it to the church, and he told the church to go and make disciples. And now, 2,000 years later, here we are still receiving that same truth. And he delivered it to the church so the church could deliver it to others. And here you are today receiving that truth. And you're receiving that truth so you can go and share that with someone else. You see, we ought to contend for the faith because it is the faith that Jesus taught. And so we understand. Part of the reason why we're here as Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is to protect and proclaim the truth which Jesus delivered unto his church. Again, the truth that Jesus taught has been taught down through the centuries. And here we stand today with that same truth. And it has been earnestly contended for. It has been fought for. There have been heresies that have been taught against. And we'll get into that as we go along through this. But here we are thinking about the teaching that Jesus delivered while he walked on this earth. And we are still here with that faith, earnestly contending for it. Again, we're not teaching some philosophies of men. We're not teaching what Muhammad taught, or we're not teaching what Confucius taught, or Buddha, or any of those others. It's the faith that was delivered by Jesus to his church, and it's come to us through 2,000 years. As a matter of fact, we're not even teaching a denomination that was started by men. You go back and look at your major denominations and you can find a beginning point for them. Baptist churches were begun by Jesus. And we're still teaching that same truth. Understand the importance of what we do here in earnestly contending for the faith. Thirdly, not only should we earnestly contend for the faith because it is the gospel, not only should we earnestly contend for the faith because it is the faith that was delivered by Jesus, but thirdly, Jude expressed here in this text that the truth was under attack. The truth was under attack. He says, for there are certain men, in verse number 4, there are certain men crept in unawares. They began to teach that turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God. They began to teach that should we continue in sin, that grace may abound. In other words, they're saying, listen, you can live however you want to because you are grace, full of grace. And that's what Paul addressed when he said, shall we continue in grace, sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And they're denying the deity of Jesus Christ. You see, these teachers of error began to creep in and began to spread untruths. the attack which began in the Garden of Eden when Satan began to question the Word of God and say, yea, hath God said, is the same attack that has continued on down through the centuries. It is the attack that Jesus had to stand against when he stood against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when he called them out and said, you are of your father the devil. It's the same attack that the apostles had to stand against when they had to teach the truth. Like I said, Paul had to stand against they turned the truth of God into the grace of God into lasciviousness. And it's the truth, it's the challenge that continues today. There are errors that are being taught in the world today. Listen, everyone that stands up with the Bible is not teaching the truth. Everyone that stands up with the Bible is not earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. If they are adding anything to salvation other than the grace of God, they're at any kind of work at all. They're not contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This attack of Satan has gone on through the centuries, and it's going to continue on until Jesus returns. And so we want to understand the truth is going to be attacked. Later on, again, we're going to see how Paul warns the Galatians. He warned them because he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. So even Paul said, listen, there's people that are teaching a false gospel. During the days of Paul the apostle, there were those that were teaching a false gospel. Are there false gospels being preached today? Yeah. So we need to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because the truth is being attacked. And fourthly, we should earnestly continue to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because that's the practice of the early church. I want you to turn now to the book of Acts in chapter number 2. And I preach this text often when I'm trying to talk about the importance of the work that Emmanuel Baptist Church does. But here we have, soon after the day of Pentecost, as the church is beginning to grow, and we're going to get an expression of the work of the church. And what did the church do? It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And so they continued steadfastly, notice, in the apostles' doctrine. What was important to the early church? The apostles' doctrine. I know there are people that say, listen, you don't need to teach doctrine. Well, the early church thought it was necessary. And if you're not going to teach doctrine, what are you going to teach? Nothing. What is doctrine anyway? Doctrine is just teaching. But they continued in the teaching of the apostles. And so we understand something from that. The apostles were interested in teaching doctrine. The apostles were interested in teaching what Jesus had taught them. And they wanted to share that truth with others. The early church understood the value of doctrine. And the only way that you're going to protect against error is if you know the truth. The only way that you can decide whether something is true or not is to compare it to the original. The only way you can tell if something is an error is to compare it to truth. And we have teachers in here, right? Does a student get the answer to that question wrong? How do you know? I think you have a thing called an answer key, right? And the answer key, you compare their answer to the answer key, and if their answer doesn't compare with the answer key, well, they got that one wrong. Big red X, right? The same thing's true with truth. How do you know whether someone is teaching error or not? The only way you know if something is an error is if you know the truth. And so the early church understood the importance and the value of doctrine. It's why we want to, and we stress so much learning the Scripture. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we're having the catechism class for the young people, is so that we can instill in their hearts at a young age the value of the Word of God and the principles that are taught in the Word of God. That's why we have Sunday school, so we can instill in your children the teachings of the Scripture so that they will be built up in the most holy faith. And so when they build their lives on the Word of God and the storms of life come, what did Jesus say? The one that's built their life on the Word of God, when the storms of life come, their house stands firm. But if they don't build their lives on the Word of God, when the storms of life come, their life is going to be flooded and it's going to be washed away. And as the little children's song goes, and the foolish man's house went splat. You want to know why so many people are struggling through life today? It's because they're trying to live their life based upon their own views, the secular view of what is important in this world. But if they would turn and they would build their lives upon the Word of God, then they would understand the value and they would be able to stand firm even though the storms of life come. The reason that people's lives are so messed up is because they forget the importance of building their lives on the Word of God. That's why I try to encourage you to read those Scriptures. No matter if it's just a few verses a day, you need the Scriptures and to hide them in your heart that you might not sin against God, so that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, so you might be able to stand against the troubles and trials and temptations that this world gives. There is importance in doctrine. And if we don't have doctrine, we don't have anything else. And so we need to understand, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. The early church did it, and it's so impactful in our lives. You see, it's by the gospel, the truth of the gospel, that sinners are called to repentance. Again, like we read in our daily, in our reading just earlier, remember, the devils knew who Jesus was. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. They were still devils. See, it's not about knowing who Jesus is. It's about understanding that you are a sinner. And because you are a sinner, you need a Savior. And that Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we understand it's through the truth of the Word of God that we understand that people are called to repentance. People today want to have this hope of, I'm going to go to heaven, but they've never been called to repentance. But it's in the truth that we see and we're called to repentance. You see, it's in the truth of the Word of God that we are warned to flee the wrath to come. As I made mention recently, Al Mohler in his on his briefing talked just recently about how that hell has left the national consciousness. People don't want to think about a literal hell where sinners are cast and they're going to suffer for eternity. People don't want to think about that, and people don't want to think that they might be a candidate for that place. But here's what we understand. It's in the Word of God. We understand that all of us are candidates for hell. What do we have to do to be on the broad road that leads to destruction? Nothing. We're born in sin, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. And so we're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and one day, except we repent, we're going to spend eternity in hell. But it's in the gospel where we understand the truth about hell and the truth that we are warned to flee from that wrath that is to come, because God is going to pour out His wrath upon sin, and death and hell are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and everyone who has not named the name of Christ is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so it's in the truth of the Word of God that we understand that we need to flee the wrath to come. But it's also in the truth of the Word of God where disciples are made. You see, it's in this doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's how disciples are made. Do you, as an individual, understand the battle for truth that you are in today? Today, with your life, you are fighting for men's souls. You are a part of the truth continuing on. you are a part of the gospel being kept in its purity so that men can hear the truth of the Word of God and be saved from their sins. You are fighting for the truth that can save men's souls. And if you do not fight for the truth today, the truth is going to fall in the streets. And your family won't hear the gospel. Your grandchildren won't hear the gospel. Your great-grandchildren may never hear the gospel. We're just one generation separated from the truth being turned to error. And the gospel which saves men's souls being gone. You, as a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, it is important for you so that future generations will know and understand the gospel which can save their soul. It's up to you. We can't let down our fight for the faith. Are you allowing the truth to fall into the streets? Will you fight for the faith that was once to deliver the saints so that when Christ returns, faith will be found? Your individual battle every day in your life, you are fighting for the faith. It's up to you to hold it up. It's up to all of us to hold it up. This week on Tuesday night, Kimberly and I went and spent the night with Haley and Bray. And while we were there, we watched a documentary that they're watching called Pacific. And this documentary follows a couple of Marines through the Pacific Theater in World War II. In one episode that we watched, they're on this island. And if you know anything about the Pacific Theater, the Japanese were bunkered in, and they had defenses set up. And if you went to attack those islands, many people didn't survive. But here they were fighting for this island, and it had a landing strip on it. And they had to cross that landing strip to try to attack the enemy positions. And as they were running across that mine or that airstrip, many of them lost their lives. And you know, typical war movies, gruesomeness, and to see the things that they experienced. And you know, some got across but had to go back, and when they was coming back, they didn't make it. And so there was this discussion at night. Why are we doing this? Why are we on this island and so many of our friends are dying? Because of the freedom that we, this was the soldiers discussing, because the freedom that we enjoy is worth fighting for. We know the freedom that we have and it's worth fighting for. So many men paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can enjoy freedom today. Is freedom from sin worth fighting for? Is the eternal life of your family and friends worth fighting for? Is the eternal life of those in our community worth fighting for? Will you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints so that future generations may know and hear and believe the gospel? Are you willing to stand and fight against the wiles of the devil so that others might live for eternity? I pray that you understand it is worth fighting for. And I pray that you understand how important your part is holding up the battle. each of those soldiers on that battlefield, their ability to stand and fight was important for the overall success of the army. And your ability to stand and fight today and to earnestly contend for the faith is important for the truth to continue on. And as we look here in the text, we find there's a positive impact because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We see that it says, and fear came upon many. And so people began to understand their sin, and they began to have a respect and honor God, and people began to cry out for salvation. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We find that they continued together in unity. And all, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, I'm not advocating that type of communal living, but we see they cared for one another, and their care for one another was expressed in helping each other provide for their needs. And it tells us in verse 46 that they continued on. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So they continued on in the temple daily in what was known as Solomon's colonnade. They continued there. And what were they doing? Learning doctrine. They continued daily. They understood the importance of fellowship and learning. Do you realize today that one of Satan's attacks is a passive attack? Satan has begun to creep into people's minds and convince them that standing for the truth is not important. Everybody has their own truth, and everybody, as long as your truth, you believe your truth, everybody has their own truth. No, there's only one truth. So Satan has begun to convince people that there's no truth to stand for. People have lost a passion for the truth. Satan has lulled people into sleep by convincing them that continuing on learning the Scripture is not important. It's not important to gather together and fellowship together in church. That's not important. You can serve God on your own, however you want to. It's not important. And so he's passively attacking people by convincing them that church attendance is not important. He's clouded the minds of those who profess salvation to think that what I'm doing is not important and what I'm doing doesn't matter, and why am I even doing this anyway? And so therefore, even thinking about contending for the faith for the benefit of others just fallen away. But what did they continue on? Not only did they continue in that teaching, but they continued on in breaking of bread. And that has to do with they enjoyed fellowship meals, which we're going to enjoy a little bit later. But it's also they continued the Lord's Supper. And we this do in remembrance of me. We have forgotten how important it is as a member of the church to observe the Lord's Supper and to fellowship around the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And they continued on praising God. And so they continued singing praises to the Lord. And they continued on in prayer. They understood the value of prayer. And we even see it as you study the book of Acts, how they got together and they prayed for Peter and so many things. So praise God. As they praised, as a part of their worship, they would remember the value of what had been given them and giving them eternal life. And then as they continued on in these things, as we've already said, the Lord added to the church daily. Souls were saved because they were faithful to the truth. So, the faith needs to be contended for because, as we read there back in Jude, people had already begun to turn away from the truth. So, going back to our original thought with Jude, he told them to earnestly contend for the faith. And what does that mean? Earnestly means zealously with real desire, and to contend means to strive for or against. So, would you say, Jude is imploring these who are receiving his letter to zealously, with real desire, fight for the truth. Would you describe your relationship to the truth with those words? Would you say that you are zealously striving for the truth? Today, all I'm trying to do is to help us to see the importance of battling for the truth. If we do not, who will? We must understand the battle for the truth is real. The fight for the truth is going on in our world today. And you have been enlisted to the battle. As a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, you are called to the battle. Earnestly contend for the faith. Don't leave your post. Don't allow your post to be the place where Satan attacks. Don't allow your post to be the post that lets down, that decides to sleep on your post to let the enemy in. Understand the importance of you standing for the truth. But you know, not all of you that are here today are in the battle. Not with Emmanuel Baptist Church anyway. But some of you need to be. Some of you need to join the battle. Some of you need to join the church. Some of you need to become soldiers. You've never repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and today's the day. You need to turn from the wrath to come, and you need to see that the only way that you can do that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be saved. You need to trust Jesus. But the battle is real, and we're called upon to earnestly contend for the faith. Let's do our duty. Let's stand for the truth so that future generations can know the gospel with saves men's souls. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that we find in your word today. And I pray that you will challenge our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.